Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Herman Pretorius. So we are going to continue the discussion about coalitions and the proposed, or it seems like there is going to be a proposal soon, of a government of national unity. So I'm going to read out a little bit from an ANC statement here. The ANC says that its National Working Committee met on the 4th of June, 2024, 2 days after the announcement of the results with the IEC, to receive a report from national officials on meetings held thus far with various political parties. These meetings include meetings with delegations from the IFP, the EFF, the DA, the National Freedom Party, who are very small and only have one seat, and the Patriotic Alliance. The ANC has also had engagements with its alliance partners, the South African Communist Party, COSATU, and SANCO, as part of the consultation process. National officials reported to the National Working Committee that the ANC has repeatedly reached out to the MK Party for an engagement meeting with no positive response. Our door remains open as we continue to reach out to every party that is keen to contribute positively towards moving our country forward. The National Working Committee held a robust and constructive discussion on the perspective and report from national officials. The discussions enriched the ANC perspective and further probed the implications of each option for South Africa and the ANC's historic mission to build a united, non-racial, non-sexist, democratic, and prosperous South Africa for all. Based on the consensus reached, the National Working Committee will take its detailed perspectives on forming a government in South Africa to the National Executive Committee meeting scheduled to take place on the 6th of June. So that's tomorrow. So basically, this statement starts off by sounding this kind of big discussion of unity. It talks about how the voters didn't give any one party a seat at the table or a majority, and therefore there should be some sort of more diverse coalition of voices going forward. Now, that's very vague language, but it does seem to hint at this idea that the ANC is looking at some kind of grand coalition, possibly with at least the DA, maybe also the DA and the EFF, and the IFP, and the PA, or any combination of those. Herman, it's, I think, a little bit difficult to say what this will look like in concrete terms, but let's think about the hypothetical of a so-called government of national unity, which basically has all the major parties in it except the MK party. Could such an agreement work in any way? I'm very skeptical. I mean, I'm not really sure how a cabinet meeting where you had an IFP, DA, EFF, and ANC minister would actually be able to agree on absolutely anything whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. I can't see this working. I think it's a non-starter. I think it's dead on arrival. But I do think it's clever politics from the ANC. If I were the ANC, this would definitely be one of my two preferred options. I would want a government of national unity, number one, spread the blame. Number two, you've got experience of being the senior partner and cannibalizing smaller parties. Number three, you own the civil service. So if there is a multi-party cabinet, but there's a uniparty civil service that you've ensured over the last 30 years, essentially you have these parties in office but not in power, because at the end of the day, it is who administers the decisions made by cabinet that really, really directs the direction of, or directs the you know, purpose and activity of government. So I think this would be a very fine settlement for the ANC in terms of just real politics and crude power politics. I think it would also be good for them reputationally, in the sense that it would harken back to their glory days of, you know, Mandela was the great consensus builder, the government of national unity, Ramaphosa was the leading constitutional negotiator, quote unquote. So it would, I think, perceptionally be powerful and useful for them to go back to that role and earn some of the credibility that they've lost so far. But it's very, very difficult to see it working. Looking at the DA, the whole moonshot pact that became the multi-party charter was launched on this idea of keeping the EFF and the ANC out of office in sort of together. And implied in that is that you could have the ANC in government, but not the EFF and the ANC. And if the EFF signs up to a government of national unity, then it's very, very hard to see the DA walking away, walking into government and keeping any of their credibility. So it really becomes a political mess that number one doesn't give clarity at this moment, and number two can't even promise any long-term survival.
This is one of the problems of any coalition with the ANC, regardless of which party I think it tries to engage in it, and that is the policy of cadre deployment has filled particularly the upper levels of the bureaucracy with loyal ANC cadres. So unless you have the ability to essentially have full control over staffing within your own portfolios, which is extremely unlikely, then you will essentially be in office but not in power, as you say. And I think this is particularly problematic for the DA because those officials are far less likely to be sympathetic to the DA and would hurt any ability of theirs to actually make progress in any administration. And I myself, when I was a city councillor for the DA in Johannesburg in 2016, I saw some of this. And I know the DA council complains about this all the time, that many of the municipalities that the DA has had some opportunity to govern don't seem to go their way particularly easily because so much of the civil service simply has either its own agenda or is still aligned to the ANC. And absolutely. I don't really understand how a coalition, unless you have an extremely strong hand to do what you want in the spheres that you're in, does anything to rectify that.
I think that's 100% true. And if you look at the Cape Town experience, it's clear from that first coalition government's term that it was the civil service that needed to be fixed before the city could be fixed. And I think that's extrapolated to the country as a whole. Corruption, bad service delivery, these things are really caused by the civil service being captured by you know, cadres, corrupt crooks, cronies, whatever you want to call them. And so if you want to solve the problems in the country, you need to fix the civil service. You need to fix the administrative operational building blocks of the state. But the problem is there's also a time pressure issue here. The ANC lost control of the Tshwane Metro in 2016. We're now almost 10 years later, and the decaderization of the Tshwane civil service is a slow and grinding process that is very difficult to manage. And the idea that this coalition will need to deliver on its mandate and can't just go in with a fanfare and keep that fanfare going for 5 years, something will have to improve. Something will have to change. Governance will need to tick up in some way. And you can't do that without fixing the civil service. Now, the civil service is an interesting character in this drama because they might remain pro-ANC for as long as they, as the public sector unions might remain pro-ANC for as long as they believe that their bread is most likely to be buttered by the ANC. But imagine if the ANC is willing to concede a review of civil service staff numbers, appointments, if the ANC would even dare to entertain that, there's a very real possibility that the civil service unions will themselves become a political player that works against the ANC and get captured by the EFF or MK with radical promises of we will be your best friends in government, be obstructive.
And having the bureaucracy as its own political player is not at all an unlikely thing. It happens in countries all over the world. Often there are complaints. Famously, the comedy series on British television, Yes Minister, was essentially all about that, about how the bureaucracy in the UK had become its own beast that pursued its own objectives, regardless of what the politicians who were voted in said. And I think the sort of chaos of having a coalition where the politicians really aren't on the same page, right? At the end of the day, there has to be a government policy. And if the DA and the ANC, for example, are in a coalition together, there's no agreement on anything pretty much. So at the end of the day, the policy is either going to be a confused compromise or it's going to go to one side or the other.
And the problem is you can't govern a full term on sentiment. The immediate sentiment might be positive to a DA-ANC coalition. People might go, or a government of national unity, frankly. People might go, oh, fantastic. They've got a certain majority in parliament. They've got the momentum. The markets like it. The public accept it. That's all good and well until you get to a point of actually having to iron out the kinks. The DA working with the ANC would have to either endorse or turn a blind eye to cadre deployment, preferential procurement, BEE, the things that have fed the ANC patronage network. And the ANC must keep that patronage network alive if it wishes to maintain anything resembling unity. And key to that is the civil service. So any deal that is struck now must have a solution for the civil service at its core, at its heart. All the rest is guff. All the rest is sentiment. If the machinery of government cannot be fixed after being broken by cadre deployment and those sorts of insidious policies, then whatever constellation of power you end up, it will simply fail to effect any real change.
One of the other things I also fear about these sort of grand government of national unity, where you basically put every single big player in the same government together, is you'll get a multiplication of what you kind of already sometimes see on committees in parliament and things like that, is that the ANC and EFF, while on the streets they may fight each other and in rhetoric they may fight each other, because they share so much of a worldview, on practice they just kind of begin cooperating together. And in fact, you know, having the DA and IFP in that same coalition as well may remind the ANC and the EFF that really they actually have a lot in common, and actually they can unite against these two opponents within government as well, which would probably just bring them closer together, ending up with the so-called doomsday coalition, as the DA has described it itself anyway. So I think if the ANC is going to push forward with some sort of grand coalition like this, I think it would be a very wise proposition for pretty much all the sensible opposition parties to stay very far away from it, because it is going to be a big unwieldy ship where even if the best of intentions, which is not really a guarantee, are involved in making it, it's going to probably flounder on the rocks because it's just going to be so incoherent. No, all right. I think that's all the time we have for today. This is, of course, fascinating moment in our country's history. The paths and decisions we take now will have a lot of echoes down the road. That being said, you know, if someone makes a bad deal now, there's always a possibility that things could change. That's one of the wonderful things about having a parliament where the balance of power has shifted so much, is that the possibilities become much more varied in where our politics can go from here. But we'll keep abreast of this and keep our analysis caps on for as the developments as they come down the line. And I hope you enjoyed the show today. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.